This is Barry Reichenbaugh with the NOAA Research Communications Office. I'm here at the Geophysical Fluid Dynamics Laboratory in Princeton, New Jersey with Morris Bender. Could you start first by giving us your title and telling us what you do here?
Well, I'm a research meteorologist at GFDL, where I have been working for the past 31 years with hurricane modeling. Starting from 1976, where I began to work here under the leadership of Dr. Curry Hara, who was one of the pioneers in hurricane modeling and who began the hurricane project here in 1970.
Can you tell me a little bit about the Hurricane Project and how that has evolved over the years?
Well, the Hurricane Project began here in 1970 through Dr. Curry Hara, who actually began working at GFDL under the climate modeling branch. But Dr. Smagorimsky wanted to expand GFDL to also be able to do mesoscale modeling, and Dr. Curry Hara, who was affectionately known as Curry, began the project, and I began working here in 1976. Originally, the intention was to develop a state-of-the-art hurricane model to study hurricanes as a basic research and to use the model as a basic research tool. Over the next decade, the model was really one of the pioneers in numerical modeling of hurricanes and studied such things as hurricane decay over land, hurricane genesis, looked at hurricane structure. And in the mid-80s, we were approached by Bill Bonner, who was then the director of NSEP at that time, called NMC, about the potential using our model as a hurricane forecast tool of the National Weather Service. At that point, we began a decade-long effort to transfer a model that was used for basic research as a state-of-the-art hurricane forecast tool. And in the early 90s, the model began to be tested in near real time. The first near real time forecast was for Hurricane Andrew, and the model was actually run here, but it was really the first forecast model to get Hurricane Andrew missing New Orleans. And that actually got the attention of the Hurricane Center. And the next year, we ran a number of other storms and showed superior performance for track using our model compared to the other operational guidance. And the modeling system was then transferred to the National Weather Service, greatly optimized, and in 1995 became an official weather forecast model for the National Weather Service.
Can we talk a little bit about the collaborative process that's taken place in the development of the GFDL hurricane model?
Yeah, I think that our project was one of the real success stories of agencies in the government collaborating. That first of all, the collaboration between us and NSEP was really very unique. Typically, agencies in the Weather Service try to adapt their own models, but it was really a collaboration that really was a great success story, that we were able to collaborate with the Weather Service. And then the collaboration expanded to the University of Rhode Island under Professor Isaac Guinness, who began at GFDL. He was a postdoc here in 1990 through 92. He immigrated to the United States from Russia. and kind of one of those ironic twists that when he immigrated here, he settled in an area only about 30 miles from GFDL, and he knew about GFDL from Russia. And he was interested in ocean, studying the interaction of hurricanes with the ocean. And that was, at that time, many people didn't believe that interaction of the hurricane with the ocean was important. And so we began a two-year collaboration to study that. And when he left to go to the University of Rhode Island, that collaboration continued and evolved into developing a hurricane ocean coupled model, and which eventually became operational. So that collaboration has continued, and has been very important actually in further improving our model over the last few years. He and some of his postdoc and PhD students worked with us in improving how the hurricane can be able to simulate the flux of energy from the ocean. We call them surface fluxes, as well as improving this hurricane coupling effect, as well as helping us in increasing the model resolution and some of the other physics. So it was really incredible success story, a collaboration between not only us, which was a research lab, but also the Weather Service, as well as an academic institute, something which isn't really done as often as it should be successfully, but it's been a great collaboration. And the reason the collaboration has been so successful is that we were all able to work together. I'm a firm believer in collaboration, but realize that collaboration often start with friendships and people that can really work together. And the fact that we, as well as people at the University of Rhode Island, as well as people in NSEP, really were good friends, the collaboration has been a tremendous success.
Let's talk a little bit about the future now. Where should we anticipate future improvements in the field of hurricane modeling?
Well, as you know, over the last decade, we've seen an unprecedented improvement in hurricane tracks forecasting. Much of that has been because of the collaboration of us and the National Weather Service. That not only did the GFDL model improve the overall consensus of the track models, but some of the work that we had done in our hurricane model actually was also adapted by the Weather Service's global model and some of the ideas that we developed. And so that has shown some great improvements in track. But intensity has not shown a steady improvement. Actually, the last year of our model, 2006, was the first time that our model did show significant intensity skill, just because we were able to put into the model some of the higher resolution in physics that we were not able to do because of computer limitations. Well, all that to say is that what we're really trying to address now is the issue of intensity. And that's going to take a number of things. First, as the computer power increases, to be able to have higher resolution models. Number two, to be able to better capture the initial structure of the hurricane. Number three, to be able to have better representation of the physics, and in particular, the physics dealing with the surface of the ocean and the exchange of those, what we call those fluxes from the surface of the ocean to the hurricane. That's not well understood, but there's some pioneering work being done now with that. And over the next 10 years, we really think that those fluxes are going to be much better represented, and that's going to also lead to big improvements in intensity. One of the places that I really think we were going to be pioneering some of that work is the University of Rhode Island. And so GFDL hopes to continue collaborating with University of Rhode Island with that improvement in the physics of the what we call the surface fluxes.
Sounds like there are going to be some interesting developments coming. I'm wondering if you could shift a little bit with me now and just if I could ask you how you got into this career field and
Sure.
what got you interested in science in the first place.
Well, I was always interested in the weather growing up. You know, there are a number of people that really become what we call weather addicts, that we really get really fascinated with the weather. I was one of them. And when I actually started in college, I started as a music major, with a piano principal. But I recognized that I really didn't really want to make a living with music. Music was a very nice part of my life. And I was ended up switching to major in math and physics with the idea of going on into meteorology as a career. So it was really something, you know, you like to have a career doing what you like to do the most. And I really, really was fascinated with the weather. So that's basically, in a nutshell, how I got into meteorology.
What kind of advice do you offer for someone who's considering a career in science?
I'm going to think about this. Well, I think that it's always just kind of interesting. In some ways, I wish I was 30 years younger because, you know, there's so many interesting areas in meteorology, first of all, that are opening up and kind of wish you could kind of be there to kind of be part of it. I think it's exciting that, you know, with the, in our field, numerical modeling of weather, that the computers are getting so powerful that there are just so many interesting possibilities out there in the next 10, 20 years in the field of hurricanes, that I think that we're going to really explode knowledge of some of these issues of you know, how a hurricane, you know, interacts with the ocean and how the energy gets, you know, drawn into the storm, and understanding those sort of things. And, you know, with the computer power, we can really be able to put the physics, you know, be able to model the physics really very, very real detailed, which we hadn't been able to do before. And it's kind of really exciting. I think we're going to greatly increase our knowledge of hurricanes, understanding the intensity. People don't understand, it's not that we didn't know where to go with models for intensity, but it was so much limited by our computer resources. And so I think there's going to be some great improvements and breakthroughs in our knowledge of hurricanes, course, as well as weather in general.